Amen. You may be seated this morning. So glad you're here. It's been a great week. Every week when you're walking with the Lord, it's a great week. Amen. And he's doing good things. Last Sunday, while we were here in the midst of worship, Holly, our daughter, was home in labor, getting ready to have a baby. And they did. She and Ryan are the new parents of Coda Bradley Vandenberg. And they're so excited for the baby. It's their number 4. And it's Heather and mine's number 15 grandchild. So we're excited and grateful for what God is doing there. I'm very excited this morning because Heather and I have a special guest with us today. Wes Horton is here with his wife, Susie. And Wes and I were together at the church around the corner, Ovilla Road Baptist Church, back in the 80s, early 80s. In 81, I graduated from high school and was saved there at Ovilla Road Baptist Church. And Wes is one of those men who came to me and was my encouragement and became a friend, mentor, teacher, and encourager. In 1983, when I was struggling with a call to ministry, Wes was the man who encouraged me through that process. And because of his spoken words of blessing to me then, really, Heather and I are where we are now. So thank you, Wes. I'm glad you're here today. I'm so grateful. Yeah. He and Susie live in Nashville, and we're just grateful to get to spend a little bit of time this weekend. They could be here in the service with us today. It's kind of a full circle moment, and we're grateful for that. I'm so glad that God has given us his word. Amen? It's true. It teaches us, leads us, and that it is living and active. It's not just a book of history, though it contains history. It's not just a book of facts, although it contains facts. It is a living, breathing document. And every time you look at it, God uses his spirit and he speaks to us through it. That's why you can look at the scripture, the same scripture 100 times, and every time you read it, it says something new to you. It's not because you're that brilliant, it's because the Spirit of God is that brilliant, right? Amen? That's him working through his living word. And we build our lives upon him, his truth, and he who is the living word. And that's why we intentionally deal with relevant issues here at Vertical. We're not afraid to go where many would not go. We'll tackle the relevant issue. We'll tackle the story that's in the news. We'll tackle what others might consider church politically incorrect. We're going to go there because God has something to say about every moment of life. And God has something to say about what is even happening in our world today. And so we're not afraid of that. Our series over the years, we've walked right up into those spaces and we will continue to do so. So as I've prayed and I've talked with staff over the last weeks about the season that we're about to walk into, it's already getting volatile out there. It's already getting tense. And I know people have different perspectives on what they want to hear in church. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to hear a bunch of, you know, political talk in church. I get it. Sorry. We're going to anyway. So that's all I can say. But what we're going to do over the next 7 weeks after we finish this series, beginning September 4th, a brand new series, because in this day and time, we're called to trust in a lot of things. We're told to trust the science. We're told to trust our feelings. We're told to trust the process. We're told to just trust the universe, trust the media, trust the government. Now, here's the new series coming up September 4th. We trust Jesus. Amen? And so, yeah, amen. So leading up, all the way up into October, we're going to talk about what it means to trust Jesus in what's happening in our world, what's happening in our life, what's happening in our homes. Amen? and what's happening in our heart, to trust him above all things and above all people. So that's coming up September 4th. But today, we're 2 weeks away from finishing our series, Real Family Matters. And God has been good to us to speak, to heal. We talked about toxic family. We've talked about dysfunctional family. We've talked about truth and what God calls us to. We've talked about speaking blessing in our family, what real families of faith look like. And it's important because in today's world, we are living in the fulfillment of Scripture. Paul would write to Timothy and say, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, leaving their own conscience seared with a hot iron. This is where we live today. We're living in a day when principles of ungodliness are being believed. And whenever you believe a principle based on a lie, you open yourself up to principalities who rule over those principles. You open the door to demonic power when you believe lies. And that's what's happening in our world today, which is all the more reason the church must stand on truth today. The church must proclaim the truth today. Because the Bible also says about this day that we're living in, a message of hope. The book of Acts says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. That is also happening in this day and time. Amen? We're building up, he is building up his church, and in it we're seeing young people speak the truth. Young people rise up into the conviction of standing for the gospel. We are seeing men who have reached the older point of their lives. I put myself in that category, amen. Having dreams of once again, the church rising up in its glory to proclaim the gospel. And we're seeing young men, all those younger than me, have a passion and desire to serve the Lord. And I'm grateful that we live in this day and time for this. We as God's people must have hope. We must not get tanked by all of the critical theory that's out there and all of the lies and deceptions. We are to be the church in this day and time. So I want to speak specifically to this today as it relates to the houses that we each live in. And I've said before, in this room, in each of our houses, life looks a little different. There's some people in this room, they are single and never married. That is a house. We have some in this room and in this church who are couples with no children. That's a house. Some are couples with children. That's a house. Some have had children and they have moved on and they're alone again. That's a house. We have grandparents. We have divorced. We have all kind of houses here. But in each of those houses, God has a vision and a purpose. So our message today is called A New Vision for Your House. Your future is not destined to be filled with toxic, broken, dysfunctional behavior. God has a design and a vision for your house that is filled with hope. Now, in all honesty, I'll tell you this. I have faced more spiritual attack over the last few days regarding this message than I usually do. There's a certain amount of resistance always when you're going to proclaim truth up against lies. But a couple of nights ago, I felt like I was in a wrestling match all night long. I woke up and I mean, the minute I had, you know, some kind of conscious awareness, I felt like I was just instantly under attack. And it was a rough night. And I told Heather the next morning, and she was quick to come and pray for me. I sent word out to some people I count on for prayer here in the church, our elders' wives, and they were quick to pray. And I will say, I have experienced the freedom and the power of God over the last day, and I'm here to proclaim the truth and the message that he gave me in liberty and in power. Amen? So thank you for those that have prayed. If you turn your Bible to Genesis 12, is where we're going to be today. But as usual, if we look at a passage, we've got to know some context. Genesis 12 is the story of where God calls Abraham for the first time. And we meet him there as Abram. God will speak and work in his life and later change his name to Abraham, which will indicate the Spirit of God breathed into him and empowering him. But Genesis 12, here's your deep theological moment right here. Genesis 12 follows Genesis 11. Make a note. Genesis 11 is the story of the Tower of Babel. And those two stories have a connection. What's interesting also to me is that Noah, of course, Noah lives a long time. After the flood, he and his wife, they're the ones who repopulate the earth. And he lives some hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years and gets to see what's happening, gets to see the product of this flood and his work. And sadly, it does not go well. In Genesis 11, the people all gather together in a rallying cry against God. You think, wow, in some 9 generations that followed Noah, how did that happen? How did they get to the place where they are shaking their fist at God and no longer trusting him? They're building this tower that will be the place that they gather and say, we will not have a flood take us again. We will make a name for ourselves. We will be God. We will rule. And it's a sad day. You read over in Scripture just a little bit further, and you find that what actually was happening is that they had begun to no longer worship the Lord, but they had begun to worship idols. In fact, if you read about the history of Ur, where Abram will be from, they worshiped the moon. And so here is a people who have dismissed the good news of the grace of God, who saved them from the judgment upon the earth in the flood, who provided rescue and salvation for them, and they have turned against him. And the thing we know about anyone who is serving other gods, those gods, number one, are not real. They are images. They are stone. They are the moon in this case. And the belief was that you got to keep the moon happy. If you don't keep the moon happy, things are not going to go well. So you got to keep sacrificing to the moon. You got to keep offering up sacrifices. That may mean from what you have grown, made, or gave birth to, because you have to keep the moon happy. And the thing about idol worship is you never know if they're truly ever satisfied. You don't ever know that. In some seasons they are, in some seasons they're not. And so they equated crops going badly with the moon being upset with them. Crops going well, moon being happy. What a difficult way to live. And here they have all been living, all the peoples on the earth at this point, living under that way of thinking. And so they, again, dismissed God, built a tower to the heavens. And I was thinking about what that looks like. I hope you had something to draw with today. I was thinking about what that looks like for your house to live under that kind of pressure, that kind of fear. Because really what's happening is you are living under a curse. You are believing that the deity is against you. And you have to do everything in your power to somehow keep the deity happy. And it never is enough. The deity, the idol, the thing you bow down to, it's never truly ever happy. So you're always in this place of operating from the cursed spot. You're always in the place of pain, despair, and analyzing everything in life by the fact that the deity is angry at you. That's how they would have to have operated. It's true for them in Genesis 11. It's true all the way throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament, even today. People who are serving any God besides the one true God, they are operating under a curse. They are operating from the position that I have to do something to keep the deity happy. Now stay with me. Because when that is the case, what you end up living with is a whole host of issues. You live with just fear rooted in your life. It's the basis of everything you do. You fear the deity, you fear everything else. You fear life itself, you fear problems. You fear consequences, you just live in a spirit of fear. You also live with a spirit of guilt all the time. I'm never doing enough. I've got to do more. I'm always failing. I'm never going to reach my place. So therefore, I live insecure. I never have any real stability. I never have any real confidence. I'm always uncertain. And therefore, I end up living critical of everybody else. If I got to carry the weight, then everybody else needs to make sure they're doing their part too. And you become the self-appointed judge to make sure everybody else is doing their part, right? Because if they're not keeping the deity happy, they could be the reason for your problems. So now I'm critical, I'm fearful, and I actually fear what others think. Boy, that's a sad place to be. When you look at the crowd and you're looking to make sure everybody else likes you, you don't have any real confidence in who God says you are. You don't have any confidence in who you are, created in His image and redeemed by His power. You don't have any confidence in that, so you gotta make sure someone's happy with you. And so you chase this crowd for a while, and you chase this person for a while. I'll do what they want, because I just don't want anyone to not like me, because that's where my image is all rooted. That's what it looks like when you're living under a curse. You live stressed because you're never doing enough. You're always afraid of what's going to happen. You live complaining. Man, nothing's going my way. Everything's hard. Everything's miserable. Nothing's going the way I want it to. I can't believe this is happening to me. Boy, this always happens to me. And you just live under the weight of a curse. And this is where Abram and his family are living before Genesis 12. If you're living under a curse, another thing that often happens is you are easily offended. You're wearing your feelings out there on your sleeves. You've got this very thin layer of security in your identity. And so anytime someone says anything to you that could be interpreted in the least positive way, you assume it, and you're easily hurt. Your identity is so small in who you are, and that you're loved and secure, and so you're easily offended by everybody else's words. As a result, you often isolate, you pull away from other people, you walk in self-punishment. I'm not ever doing enough. It's not enough. And you live, worst of all, in a dark introspection. You're continually looking at yourself, continually looking at where you have failed. And it's dark. It's intrusive. It's sad. And you can't get out of it. And as a result, many people live enslaved and stuck. This is life under the curse. Anyone who's following after idols, Anyone who's serving something besides the one true God, they are living under a curse. This is where Abram is. Where we're about to meet him, he is 70 years old. And he's lived in a toxic family for seven generations. You think your toxic family situation's tough. Seven decades, and then many previous generations. The book of Joshua tells us that they were worshiping idols. We know it was dysfunctional because Abram's going to go on and do a bunch of very dysfunctional things even after he comes to know the Lord. Abraham is going to be the guy who is going to lie that his wife is his wife to protect himself and her. He's going to say, oh no, that's my sister. Abraham's going to be the guy who will dismiss when God tells him a promise and going to figure out a way that he can have his own children. And he's going to use his handmaid and sleep with her to have a child to fulfill God's promises. That's dysfunctional. Hello? That's toxic. That's messed up. Because this is where Abram comes from. But Genesis 12 gives us a new day. Genesis 12 starts like this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house. This is how God begins a calling into our lives. What we're gonna see today is a pattern. The way God works with Abram is how he works with us. And the first thing God does with us is says, come out of your sin. Repent of the way you've been living. He says to Abram, all this right here, all that idol worship, all that living under a curse that you've been walking in, get out of this. Get out from your country. Get out from your family that has operated under this. And man, when family operates under this, it gets ugly. It gets toxic. This is where you get fighting. This is where you get manipulation. This is where you get narcissism. This is where you get shaming. This is where you get people who don't even know how to communicate to one another outside of just fighting and complaining all the time. Hello, does that sound like anybody's family reunions? Sadly, it often does, because people live even today bearing more curse than blessing from the Father. This is what it looks like. And so God says to Abram, I got something I want to do, but the first thing you're going to have to do is get out of this. You're going to have to leave this. Get out of it. Walk away from it. You're 70 years old. You need to move on. You need to get your own family identity, because I'm about to do something big in your life. And whenever God wants to do something big, he will call us out of where we've been. That's our first big point today if you're taking notes. You want a new vision for your house? You got to get out of toxic patterns of belief and dysfunction. You need to make a break with it. You need to find a way to cut that off. You need to find a way to have a conversation. You need to find a way to stop walking in those old patterns. Amen? And many of you over this series have started doing that. You've started standing up into who you are in Jesus Christ and not allowing toxic patterns of dysfunction to continue in your family. Amen? And you can't control that in everybody else's house in your family, but you can control your house. You might remember our message from that one day called, not in my house, right? And that's what you and I must do. You have to draw some boundaries, draw some lines, say, not in my house. You've got to make a break with the past. You've got to walk away from those things. Now, this may be hard because if you've grown up in toxic, sometimes you don't even realize it's toxic. Look here. If this is going on in your family, that's toxic. If there is shaming, narcissistic behavior, guilting, manipulation, that's toxic. If no one's ever told you that before, I'm telling you, that's toxic. And you have to come to the place, like Abram is about to do, where he says, all right, that's where I've been. No more. My God is calling me. You know, that must have all been kind of foreign to Abram. Abram's only known of a deity being a circle in the sky. Never heard him speak. Never thought he was good. And all of a sudden, here is the one true God having a conversation with Abram. And it's good. And it's a voice. And he's real. And he has hope for him. Because the next part of verse 1 says this, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. He didn't just say, leave all this. He said, I've got a place I'm going to take you. I'm going to lead you to a place you haven't been before, a place that's good, a land, a home, a place where you'll raise your family, where you'll raise generations. And I love the fact that he didn't say exactly where it was right here. He didn't give him the Google map coordinates. He didn't hand him a map. He didn't say about where it was. He just said, here's what the deal is. I'm going to take you to a land and I will show you. That means Abraham is going to have to learn a process of trust. I'm going to trust this God who has spoken to me. If you want to have a new vision for your family, it will require that same kind of trust. Point number 2 this morning. You want a new vision? Trust and seek God for the new land that he will show you. It's not for you to figure out on your own. It's up to you to trust the one who will show you, to seek the one who is good, to walk out of where you've been and believe he wants to do something good in your family. Amen? And you trust him in the process, because here's what God said he would do. He says to Abram, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. You gotta know, Abram had never heard anything like this before. Abram had only known of a deity that was angry with him. And here is the one true God saying, Abram, I'm going to do something powerful in you. And it's good what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you and I'm going to multiply you. Your influence will be so great that what comes from you will be a nation, an entire nation. You talk about having a vision for your family. God is giving it to Abram right here. And I'm gonna bless you in the process, Abram. I'm gonna be good to you. I'm gonna speak good to you. I'm gonna speak hope to you. Because remember what we've learned. Blessing is not just measured by money, possessions, or ease. Blessing is a spoken word of favor from God. And this is what God is doing for Abram. And it's not because Abram had finally racked up enough righteous points. This is God being good to a sinner and offering him his righteousness. And this was going to be foreign to Abram. This was going to be difficult. This was going to be different than anything he'd ever known. And there was going to be so much that was going to be impossible about this. A nation? Abram? 70 years old, doesn't have any children, married to a woman who's barren, can't have children, hasn't had children, and God's making a promise about something that seems impossible. How are you going to make a nation out of a couple who's old and they haven't had any children and it appears they can't have any children? How are you going to bless a man who hasn't done anything that's worth having a blessing poured out on him? How are you going to do anything for someone when you're going to actually make them to be a blessing? Yes, this is what our God does. So if you want to have a vision. You want to see what God has for your life. Then the first thing you're going to have to do is make sure that you stop using impossible as a filter. That's what people do. This is what's so common for us. Well, I just don't see how that could ever happen. That just doesn't seem logical to me. Well, that sure doesn't work out on paper. Well, that doesn't feel right. Look, don't look at your circumstances to measure what God wants to do in your future. You look to the one who's speaking a blessing to you and trust what he says above everything else. Amen? This is what you and I are called to. And it had to be tough for Abram saying, a nation? Are you kidding me? I don't have any children. I'm 70. You're going to make a nation? You're going to bless me? I got nothing that deserves any kind of blessing. And God is saying, no, you trust me. If I speak blessing, you believe me. If I give you blessing, you trust me. You believe it because this is what the gospel does for us. The gospel offers us hope while we were still sinners. The gospel offers us a future while we're still sinners. And God says, I'm going to bless you, Abram, but you're going to have to trust me. Point three this morning, if you want a new vision for your family, believe God's blessing spoken to your house. Don't look at the circumstances of your house today and let that limit what God wants to do tomorrow. Don't look at what you have right now and think that's going to determine what God wants to do tomorrow. Don't look at where you've been. Don't look at where you are. Don't look at what you think tomorrow holds. You listen to the one who is speaking to you and trust him only. And if he speaks blessing on you, then your responsibility is, okay, well, let me try to get my house in order first. No. Well, he's speaking blessing. Let me try to figure this all out first. No. If he's speaking to you and pronouncing blessing on you in Jesus Christ, our responsibility is to receive that. Let's talk about another house. You and I aren't meant to live under a curse. You and I are meant to live in Jesus Christ under blessing. And again, this is where it's going to get trippy with our definitions today, because we like to think, oh, I did something good and now God will bless me. We like to think, oh, I got to make sure I push all the right buttons so that God will bless me. Look here. The Bible tells us that in Jesus Christ, you have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. He's already spoken it to you. He didn't say diamonds, houses, and cars. He said forgiven, chosen, loved, valued, the apple of his eye, chosen for all eternity. That he will work in you and he will work through you because you have become seated with him in heavenly places. Amen? And when that happens, when you are walking in blessing, then you understand, oh, this is all about faith. This is not about me trying to work all this out. This is about the fact that he has made me intimate with him. I can know him. I can walk with him. I can have peace with God. In fact, not only can I, in Jesus Christ, you do have peace with God. He has removed the barrier. He's removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. And he says, justified by faith, you now have peace with God. This is what he calls us to walk in, to know we have peace with God. And then to be a word that just seems to be lacking among believers today, confident. Confident that I am secure in who I am. I know my God loves me. I know my sins are forgiven. I know he belongs to me and I belong to him. I know I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I know he has poured out his spoken blessing on me already. And I believe that and I stand in confidence in that. And now I am at rest in favor. Whoo. You and I have not come to he loves me, he loves me not. We have come to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We have come to the resurrected Jesus who has defeated death, hell, and the grave, who has paid for your sins, and now you are seated with him in heavenly places, and you are able to rest. I am favored by God because of what Jesus has done for me. I have favor because I'm in Christ, not because of where I am, but because I'm in him. Amen? This is where we live today. This is what it means to live under blessing. This means now that I am complete in him. I have all that I need in him. This means that now I have full trust in him. This means that I give every part of my life to him. I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because by the way, he has actually now in Jesus Christ called me righteous. This is where I find so many Christians. This is where I've walked myself. I've spent so much time trying to get to the place where I was righteous enough so that God would bless me. You know what I was doing when I was trying to live righteous enough so God would bless me? I was actually living under a curse. I'm living under trying. I'm living under working really hard. I'm working under trying to get there. I'm working under how little I'm doing. I'm working under how terrible I am. That's living under a curse. And Jesus has said, I have given you my righteousness. I'm giving you my status of perfection. He's given us his perfection. He's given us his perfection. Do you hear that? He has declared you blameless in his sight. And he calls us to own and wear that, to walk in that. And when you do, it will give you a vision for your family. It'll give you a vision for your house. And your house won't be filled with all this narcissistic junk. Your house will be filled with the peace and love of Jesus Christ because you know he has given you his perfection as a gift of grace. And now I am unafraid. I can be bold. I can be free because now I know I have his blessing. You see, Abram hears these words, these promises, and I'm sure it hit him in the same way these words are hitting us this morning. The passage goes on because God wasn't finished in verse 3, and he says, I'm going to do more, Abram. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. What an unbelievable thing this must have been for Abram to hear. How in the world could this all come to pass? And God is speaking this to him, and God does it. It will be through the line of Abraham that the Lord Jesus would be born. And through him, every family who calls upon him would be blessed. In fact, you and I who believe today are in, the Bible says, if we are in faith, we are of now Abraham. We're sons and daughters of Abraham, the one of faith. Abraham wasn't perfect at this, but he trusted God in this, which brings us to our fourth point this morning and our last one. You want a new vision for your house? Now that you know all of this, now that you know I'm going to leave this behind and now I'm going to start walking in this, here's what you do. You become and you speak God's blessing to the nations. Nations? You say, oh, I'm just a, I mean, it's just me and it's just my family. I mean, we just live in Ovilla, you know. What in the world does that even mean? We just live in Red Oak or Waxahachie or Midlothian. We're to the nations. What? I can't do that. Look, don't be an unbeliever in what God has promised. Let's be full believers in what God has promised. And if he said, go into all the world and make disciples, then let us be those who have the faith to believe he will somehow work through you to take your message and the message he's doing in you to all the nations. Amen? And let's get a big vision for our families. Let's get a big vision for what he wants to do in us. Something bigger than just go to work, come home, sit in a recliner, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, sit in a recliner. Let's get beyond that. God has blessed us with far more than that. Amen. Let's be those who speak the blessing of God in our house and from our house. Let us be those who say with boldness to our spouse, to our children, to anyone else that comes into our house and from our house. Let us be those that say, God is with us. God is for us. God is present with us. God has favored us. God has forgiven us. God has accepted us. God has called us as righteous. God has seated us with him in heavenly places, all because of Jesus Christ. He is at work in our family. He's not finished in our family. He's restoring generational patterns. He's tearing down strongholds. He's destroying ungodly principles. He's silencing principalities and powers. He is at work to save our entire family. He's revealing his glory. He's raising up a new generation in our family. He's showing that the gates of hell will not prevail. He's making all things new. He'll be faithful to keep his promises because he has already blessed us. Amen. Let us be those kind of people that speak that kind of truth to the nations. And you say, oh, you don't know. Yeah, that's all cool. You, Mr. Pastor guy, that's all cool. We just all hear, I don't know about all this stuff. Look here. Abram might have thought the same thing, but I know this is to be true. Jesus Christ came, the one who was had no sin, that he might become a different color cross this morning. The one who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And for those who do, for those who will believe this, for those who will walk in, I am blessed, I am not operating from curse anymore, here's what will happen. You will go from someone who's so intrusive, fearful, insecure, uncertain, dark, intrusive thoughts, isolating, fearful of the world, fearful of everything. You'll go from living under a curse to being one who operates in blessing. And all of a sudden, you and your house will become electric with the power of the Holy Spirit. You will start demonstrating the power of God in your life, and you will start being a blessing to others. Amen? That is what we're about here at Vertical, because God is restoring his church, and God is restoring families to walk in the fullness of what he made us to be, where he is Lord of the home. Amen? Where he is Lord of this house and he is Lord of the house you live in. Let's walk in that with new vision. Man, I'd encourage you, sit down with your spouse if you're married. Sit down with the Lord if you're single. Sit down with your kids if you got kids and say, let's talk about and pray about the vision God has for our house. How we're gonna glorify him because he's blessed us. We now are called to be a blessing to others. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. When we were like Abram, living in the midst of a wicked culture with failed political policies, you called him out. You chose to bless him. You called him to believe by faith. And your word says that because he believed by faith, you called him righteous and you used him. Our Lord Jesus came from his family lineage. I pray we would be families who are confident in the blessing you've spoken to us. That Jesus, you might be seen through our family lineage, through the generations to come. That we might, like Abraham, be the blessing. Be a blessing to all families, to the nations, and may it start with the one choice we make this morning, to believe. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I'm so glad you're here today.